Good morning, everybody. This is the last Sunday you have to be inconvenienced, aren't you happy? How many of you like a really uplifting, encouraging, joyful message? Yes. This is not that. Today, and I'm just being flat honest. I know this message is for me. But this message is for somebody, and maybe for all of us, but definitely, if you'll hear this message today, the Lord wants to change you. You've got to step aside from everything else that's going on in your mind, me too, and we need to listen. And I think if you'll just hear the Lord today, he wants to change you. The Lord's been working in me about Sabbath, about rest, about obedience, and this is kind of the culmination of some of those thoughts and themes, and where I've been listening to a song by Micah Tyler called Different, and he just says, I want to be different, I want to be changed, I'm tired of just hearing, I'm tired of just feeling, I want to be the person that God wants me to be, and that's what this message is about today. Very familiar passage, but hopefully it'll tie together all of the series about inconvenient. So if you want to, turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and we're going to be in verses 34 through 38 today. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Let's read together here first out of the King James, then we'll go to the NIV in a little bit. The Bible says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Today I've kind of laid this out. We are arriving at the end of inconvenience. Or maybe what I hope where we're at is the beginning of it, where we're willing to be inconvenienced as the Lord leads. Whether it's in worship, we saw that, with giving, with your time, especially with prayer, it's time that we open ourselves up to inconvenience. All of this in biblical terms comes down to what I think is one very simple question, and here's what I want to ask you today. Will you be a disciple of Jesus? You've heard this expressed before by different people before, probably. There's this idea of being a fan or a follower, right? People have fans, right? The Patriots have a lot more fans than they used to after this summer, don't they, right? They got fans. But are you a fan or a follower? And that's what I want to ask you today about Jesus. Are you a disciple? Will you be a follower of Jesus? Let's break this down very clearly as we get started this morning. A disciple of Jesus is a follower of Jesus. He or she goes where Jesus says go. If Jesus says go here, I'm going where he told me to. Even if it's not my culture, if it's not my food, if it's not my language, if Jesus said go, I'm going there. If it's not where I'm comfortable, if it's not a place that I really appreciate, but Jesus says go, I'm going to go where he says go. A disciple, first and foremost, is a follower. A disciple of Jesus has died, been buried, and made alive again in Jesus. How many of you have died today? Like, preacher, you're really confusing me, right? Everybody see this back here? I guess you can see it with this thing in the way here. Stu remembers this not too long ago, about a year ago. He got a little bit chilly back there, right? There's some cold water in there. What is baptism? It is a picture of the gospel. How did Jesus die? Did he die laying down? No. He died upright, didn't he, right? He died. He was buried. And what happened? He rose again. Amen, right? Okay. When we are baptized as believers, when we confess our sin, repent of our sins, and say, Lord, I want all of you, and we follow in the Lord's baptism, guess what we're doing? We're doing the same thing in some ways, right? We have to die. And I'm going to tell you folks today, we have to die every day, right? Because today I want me again, and today I have to die to me again. And that's the dying part. And then there's the bury part, that quiet, that removal of all of my desire. And then there's that what? The new life in Jesus, amen? And when you've been transformed by the Lord, you are alive, and then you're dead to sin, and then you're raised again. Again, it's not just that you got wet, but that's that you have been changed. I want to ask you that very clearly today. Have you been changed? Some of us filled out a card. Some of us said a prayer. Some of us walked down to an altar, and somebody said, oh, you're a Christian now. And we really weren't a Christian because we didn't get changed. We just agreed to kind of avoid confrontation. To be a follower of Jesus, there's going to be change in your heart and in your mind. A disciple of Jesus has counted the cost of following him. They've chosen the cost of following Jesus versus the cost of choosing their own self. Have you counted the cost? A disciple of Jesus has decided to demonstrate their love of Jesus by obeying his commands. And I put here, even when it goes against culture. I'm going to try to hit this today. I'm probably not going to go deep into it enough, but culture today is all about consumption. Amen? Everybody understand that when I'm talking about that, right? Even with our schools, when we first got the iPads, we started with 11 iPads, and now we have over 13,000 iPads in Noblesville, right? I mean, it just went crazy. And the question was, is it going to be consumption, or is it going to be creation? Is it going to be a tool just for consumption, or is it going to be a tool for making and learning and developing and growing, right? Well, unfortunately, in some places, the church has become a place for consumption. Do you know what I'm talking about at all? Do you track with that yet, right? Some people go to church to consume. I want to go where the environment is what I like. I want to go where it's nice and cool inside. I want to go where the music is what I want. I want to go where the carpet looks the color I want. I want to go where the service time is as long as I want or as short as I want. I want to go where the people that I like are. I want to go to get what I want. I will go and consume the God that I've created that I want, and I'll take that in, and then I'll be happy. That's consumer Christianity, right? And the flip side of that is people like to sell consumer Christianity, right? Oh, you like this? I got a t-shirt for that. Oh, you like this? I got a kit for that. Oh, you like this? I got a fog machine and a really, and which I wish we had a band. I'm not knocking the bands, but what happens is people, they end up saying, we can make profit off of people's wants, right? And then the church can become a place where consumer literally is a marketplace. Are you tracking? What do you think the Lord thinks about that? You know, right? I don't even have to go there, right? So today we want to, again, really focus on what it means to be a disciple. Most of all, what I would like to examine today is that a disciple will deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow the Lord. The last thing discipleship can be called is convenient. Do you think that Jesus' disciples thought their life was convenient? Right? Jesus didn't have a place to sleep. They didn't know where food was coming from the next day. They had little to no money. Convenient was not part of the situation. Convenient Christianity is a consumer Christianity. It's about getting what I want when I want it. It's about church on my time and in my preference. It's about following the feels instead of following the Holy Spirit. It's about an easy path instead of the right path. If you remember, that's where we started, right? 5 weeks ago. Are you going to do the easy thing, the hard thing, or the right thing? And the Lord is calling us to the right thing. Here's what I put this up here, and I hope that this can resonate with you today. I want you and I to be sick of consumer Christianity. I want when we see it and when we feel it rising up in us that we're like, get that out of my system. I don't want anything to do with consumer Christian. I want true discipleship, and I want you to help me do the same as I try to help you do the same. Okay, today's message is so simple. The first thing we're going to see is deny. Everybody say deny. The second thing we're going to see is die. Everybody say die. And the third one is follow. Everybody say follow. Deny, die, follow. One more time. Deny, die, follow. You got it. It doesn't get simpler than that, does it, right? That's what Jesus is asking of us today. To deny, to die, and to follow. And here's the thing. When you do that, you will find joy. Write it down. It's not a totally sad message today. When you find to deny, you find to die, you find to follow, at the end of that, you find the Lord Jesus, and you find incredible, incredible joy. So let's jump back in. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, NIV this time. The Bible says, and then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So let's look at this first idea this morning. Again, this is so familiar. I know I'm not telling you anything new, but what I'm trying to, the Lord is speaking to me and to us all, is we need to make discipleship our heartbeat. And so we start with denying ourselves. And I think people have misconceptions about denial. In our culture, a lot of times for denial, we might say, well, this is when you take a Slim Fast shake instead of a steak, right? I'm denying myself. I want the cupcake, but I'm going to have the celery and peanut butter instead, right? We talk about it that way. For some people, it's like, well, I came to church even though I'd really rather be doing X, Y, or Z. And you guys are just killing me. Every week in Sunday school and here, people are saying, well, I really was tired, worn out, or I would like to be doing this, but I come to church and the Lord blesses me, right? Amen, he does. We are all built that way. But the denial we're talking about is not this idea, well, I could be having fun in another place, but I decided church. For some, it's even this idea, well, I have this money and I could give my tithe, but or I could go ahead and skip church and spend my money. But the idea is, well, I'll give my tithe. This is not what we're talking about when we're talking about denial. Denial of self is complete surrender. Does God have all of you today? I'm going to come. Where's your toes at? I'm about to step on them. I'm coming. I told you I was hunting today. I told Joni I was coming after. Denial is complete surrender. What part of your life does God not have today? Well, you have my Sunday mornings. You all have already demonstrated that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Does God have your Sunday night? Like, is tonight, have you already given it to God that you'll do whatever God wants you to do tonight? Or did you decide what you wanted to do tonight because it's what you want to do? Right? How about your possessions? Preacher, I give 10% plus an offering. Well, praise the Lord. How about the 90%? Is that God's or yours? Well, I thought it was mine. Right? Complete surrender. How about the areas of your life that you're like, I will give the Lord my worship, I'll give him a little devotional time, I'll give him some prayer time, I'll give him my diet, I'll give him my exercise, I'll even give him my rest, but there's a few things over here that I don't want the Lord to know about because that's really my area that I get to keep and hang on to, and so that I'm going to cling to, but he can have everything else. Is that complete surrender? Some of us are struggling today because we just won't give up. The Lord is asking us, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to deny yourself, and that means complete surrender. Very simply, it's saying, Lord, you make the decisions from now on. It's saying everything I have is God's, not just 10%. It's that all of me must belong to all of him. The way we went over the last few weeks, it's David paying for the sacrifice when he could have had it for free. It's Esther stepping up against her fear to save her people with the king. It's the widow giving every last cent she had. It is Jesus submitting to his Father's will and praying until he could make a path through. It is everything. And we have to do it every day, amen? Denial. It is so hard. If you guys feel my heartbeat this morning, I'm so tired of searching for the convenient path and hoping for an easy Christianity, and I want everything that Jesus wants for me. Let's read this in a scripture. I think it'll make more sense. Look at Philippians 3, chapter 12. Paul in chapter 3, speaking really about losing everything for the Lord and giving his heart to the Lord. Verse 12, he says, not that I've already obtained all this or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to do what? Look at what he says. I press on to do what? I'm going to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. Do you realize that Jesus took hold of you for a reason? Everybody in this room is here today for a reason, and I didn't orchestrate it. The Lord did. You're here today, present here today, because the Lord Jesus has taken, he has a plan for you. He died that you could be something for his glory and for your joy. And I want that. But I end up chasing everything else. Are you tracking with that? I'm so tired of that. I'm tired of the easy path. I'm tired of the selfish path. The Lord Jesus took hold of me for a reason, and I want that. And I have to keep telling myself, chase after what the Lord took hold of you for. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Again, I hope you can feel it, or at least you can see it here. Paul is saying, I press on. I don't quit. I keep going because I want to be what Jesus died that I could be. He says, I'm setting aside myself because I want what Jesus has for me. And just to clarify here about this idea of denial, look back in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, 7, the Bible says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider what? Loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Let's put this in some modern terms. Jesus did better than I'll ever do with some of his illustrations, but if I had a ticket today, I have a ticket in my pocket, and I pulled it out, and I said, hey, this QR code on this card has the location for $10 million. Does anybody want the card? Right? What would you do? We'd grab our phones out so fast that you would be hitting people pulling it out of your pocket, right? $10 million. Let me get that QR code. Where is that location? First person that gets there, I'm not even going to say that. Every person that gets there gets the 10 million, gets 10 million. There's enough for everybody that wants to have 10 million. There you go. Logan's ready. He's loaded up. Now hear me out. What did Paul say about knowing Jesus? Did you catch that? He says it is a surpassing worth. It is worth more than all things. Jesus talked about finding the pearl of great price, right? He talked about setting aside everything to gain the best thing. And here is that point. Everything is a loss if it gets in the way of me knowing Jesus. And if I can only get one thing right, it is this thing. I've got to know Jesus. I can lose it all. I just have to find Jesus and become what he died that I might become. So again, simple question of commitment here this morning. Today, will you make a commitment before the Lord to deny yourself? Or are you determined to stay stuck in a life of mediocrity, seeking your own desires? I'm tired of being stuck. And I want you guys to be with the preacher. And I want you to provoke the preacher and prod him and correct him and challenge him and say, Jesus died for you to be so much more than this, preacher. You don't need to stay stuck. I got great things. The Lord's got great things for you, right? Okay? And we want to challenge each other, and I hope you will be with me on that journey. To lose it all for Jesus is to find surpassing worth. And so let's help each other on this quest. Okay, you following along? What was the first point of the three? Oh, I knew this was going to be a struggle. Deny, die, follow. So we just completed what? Deny. These people are like, okay, we can go to sleep over here. Our part's done. Okay, good. Let's look at the second idea, the dying idea, or the way Jesus words it is to take up your cross. When we think about taking up your cross, this isn't that, and some people say, well, that's just a cross they have to bear. You ever heard old people say that, right? Some of you today are sore because of some things you did this week. There's more than one person in here that fits that bill. And you're like, oh, that's just a cross I have to bear. That's not what Jesus is talking about here, right? What is he talking about when we think about this? This is not that your eyes are bothering you, have a trick knee. It's not that you don't have enough money or that you're not popular. Hear me out this morning. To take up your cross is the identification with the Lord in his death. That's the dying. We should die to ourselves, to our sin. As Jesus died and rose again, we too are to die to our sin and to ourselves and to be raised in a newness of life. We embrace the calling of God in our lives to mortify or to kill our flesh. Let me read you from C.S. Lewis here. I think he puts it better than I could. He says, Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to what? Did you catch that? Jesus didn't say, I haven't come to torment you. I haven't come to torment your natural self. I came to do what? I came to kill it. To kill your flesh, to kill the idea of that you won't serve the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. He says, I have come to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want the whole tree down. Here's some other ideas behind it. I don't want to drill the tooth or to crown it or to stop it, but to have it out. Hand over the whole natural self, all the desires which you think are innocent as well as the ones you think are wicked, the whole outfit, I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you my self. My own will shall become yours. I'll make that trade every day. And we need to make that trade every day, right? We wake up and we have our desires, right? Here's what I want to do today. And the Lord says, you need to deny and you need to die, right? The phrase that Jesus used here is he says, take up your cross. What would be comparable in our day? And even in our day, we don't hardly have any capital punishment anymore, right? So when I was a young person growing up, there was the electric chair. And there were still a few people who were, because of their crimes, they were being sent to the electric chair. In Jesus' day, the cross is like the electric chair. Jesus says, take up your cross. In our day, as a young child, it would be take up your electric chair. Take up your symbol of death, that you are willing to die to yourself. Romans chapter 6, just to kind of clarify this idea, verse 5. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Anybody don't want to be a slave to sin anymore? I don't. Look at the promise. Verse 7, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Highlight that one. Underline it. What are you battling with today? What kind of selfishness? What kind of arrogance? What kind of gossip? What kind of lust? What kind of adultery? What kind of addiction? What kind of pain? Jesus says you can be free from your sin if you will die to yourself. Okay, verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again, and death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count or reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to beg you today. There's so much freedom in the Lord. Man, we get caught, we get stuck, we get in the loop, we can't get out of it. But the truth is, if we really deny ourselves, if we will deny and die and follow, there's freedom like you can't comprehend. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying today. Let me ask you again a few questions today. Dead, have you died to sin? Have you died to sin? It's definitely a daily work, but that's the call of carrying the cross. It's the call to die. Now, hear me out this morning. I want to be very careful here, okay? This is not a call to put on a fake happy face when you're going through a hard thing. I think sometimes in churches, people have kind of had that feeling like, oh, that means I'm supposed to pretend to be happy even when things aren't going well. That's not what we're talking about. It's a call to die. It's not to give the Lord a little offering or a little time or a little prayer, but to die, to give it all to Him. Again, He wants all of you. I was trying to think of the disciples when they first ran into Jesus, when they first realized He was the Messiah. What did they do? And they didn't have the whole picture. They just had bits and pieces. What did they do? The Bible says they left their nets. That's a lot bigger deal than I think we understand. How many of you, if you thought you found the source of truth, the teaching you have been looking for your whole life, and run into the person that you thought was the Son of God, would quit your job? How many of you would leave your town? Good night, some of you won't even leave the south side, let it go up to the north side. How would you make it, right? How would you leave your community? How would you leave your food and your language and your dialect and your neighborhood? And ultimately, how would you leave your family? The disciples have left their family. They'll leave their family for 3 years because they want the truth that is Jesus. And we stay stuck. See, tell me if this is right. How many of you want your movies, but you want heaven too? Right? How many of you want your pulled pork, your brisket, whatever, your creamy jalapeno sauce with nachos upstairs? They still haven't given me any. I'm still kind of bitter about that. How many of you want what your flesh craves, but you want heaven too? Right? How many of you want that free time? Oh boy, this week, Wendy and I, we don't get to do it very often. It was so awesome. We took a little vacation trip, just the two of us, and we got to decide what we wanted to do for like a few days. No, I didn't even check my email. It's probably things are blown up and broken at school, but it's okay because we got to have the time where we got to choose what we wanted, but we want heaven too. Can you hear me out this morning? It doesn't work that way with the Lord. You deny, die, and follow, and then you see where the Lord leads you. And sometimes He leads you to City Barbecue, but sometimes He leads you to homeless ministry. Sometimes He leads you to rest and relaxation that your body needs. And sometimes He leads you to a place where there's no sleep and there's time in the jail or there's time with a bunch of ornery teenagers who need to hear about Jesus. Sometimes He leads you through your own neighborhood and sometimes He leads you to the other side of the planet because He said, deny, die, and follow. Are you tracking with me now? Right? It's not that eating at the one place is bad. It's not that getting relaxation is bad. But what it is if I choose that first without listening to the Lord, I'm missing out on His best, His plan, what He took hold of me. I'm missing that when I don't deny, die, and follow. I miss out on the best thing. And that's what the Lord is calling us to today. Again, it's a daily thing. The disciples left their nets, their families, their friends, their jobs, their homes. They left what they knew because they knew what Jesus had was something they could not live without. Would you do that? I will leave the known so I can have the unknown because I know I cannot live without this unknown. That's incredible faith, isn't it, right? That's what they did. And hear me out this morning, they literally took up the cross. 11 of the 12 disciples would ultimately die a martyr's death for their faith. But it wasn't just that they became a martyr in one day. It was that every day after they met Jesus, they took up their cross. Every day they chose His will over their will, and they were forever changed. All right, we're doing good. What's the first one? Deny, die, and finally, where are we at? Follow. Poor Cameron and Leslie, we got to pick on them at the end here. Follow. The will to follow wherever. You guys remember the story of the rich young ruler? Whenever the rich young ruler is being spoken to by Jesus, Jesus asks him a very simple thing. He says to him, sell what you have, give to the poor, and then come and do what? Follow. Sell what you have, give to the poor, come follow me. Does that sound kind of like deny yourself, take up your cross? It's kind of the same thing, isn't it, right? Jesus is speaking the same thing to us today. We must lose our identity and take up our identity in Christ. I don't want to preach the whole rich young ruler sermon, but I do believe that his identity was tied up in being rich and in being young and being influential, right? That's who he was. That's the kind of person he was. Some of you, your identity is tied up in being this person. You're the funny one. You're the smart one. You're the athletic one. You're the good-looking one. You're the one everybody loves to be around. And Jesus is saying, get rid of all of that and let me be your identity. And trust that and trust me in that. And you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Again, following Jesus is not a light matter. It's a complete surrender of hopes and dreams and plans. But hear me out. It is the most rewarding life a person can live. Trade it. You're like, oh, I'm scared. I don't want to give this to Jesus. Trade it. Right? You guys see, I think it was maybe almost a few million dollars. Michael Jordan rookie card went this week. Right? Trade it. The following Jesus is worth so much more fulfillment, so much more joy when you will do that. Question again here for you as we finish up today. Are you following Jesus or are you still stuck in a consumer Christianity that says you can get salvation and joy on your terms and in your own time? I don't think there's any need to overcomplicate this. To follow Jesus is simply to obey. It is to be able to listen close enough that when he says we go, and when he stays, we stay, and when he says go right, we turn, and when he says be still, we don't move a muscle. Here's the issue. This is my problem. I'm just sharing you this morning. I want to follow without denying and dying. And here's the thing I'm always asking. Oh, I can't hear you, Jesus. What'd you say? I turn up the YouTube a little higher. Oh, I can't hear you. What'd you say? I'm turning up my visiting all my fast food places. Oh, what did you say? I can't hear you, Jesus. I'm going on my trips. I'm going where I want to go. Jesus, speak to me. I can't hear you. And you say, Travis, deny, die. You can hear me. We've got to get back to that place of Sabbath, that place of quiet, that place of rest. And then the Lord speaks in that quiet voice. And you're like, oh, I need to go here. Today I was on my walk. The Lord told me somewhere I need to be in the next couple weeks. I wouldn't have heard him if I wasn't quiet. I chose to get up this morning even though I wanted to sleep in. But I would have missed the voice of the Lord if I had chosen myself in that moment. You guys tracking with that? Please hear your preacher out. I make the wrong choice all the time, okay? But today was an example. I made the right choice, and so because of that, I could hear the Lord. But I had to deny and die before I could follow. We cannot obey if we don't know what the Lord is saying. We have to get close enough and quiet enough and humble enough to listen, and then when we hear, we can follow. Jesus is asking you this morning, will you follow me? What's your response? Well, look down here in verse 35. We're going to talk briefly here and finish it up, what a soul is worth. Jesus says again to his disciples, whoever wants to save his life will do what? They'll lose it. But whoever wants to lose his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet to forfeit his soul? Or what can a man or a person give in exchange for their soul? The main idea, of course, is this. If you try to save your life, if you try to have your cake and eat it too, you're going to lose. If you're trying to follow Christ, sort of, and still do what you want, you're going to lose your life and you're going to lose your soul. And you'll lose the opportunity to have it all, which is simply to have Christ. And I'm afraid this is so much the problem for most of the church. We're still trying to save our lives. We want material things. We want earthly success. We want an easy and a fun life on earth. And then we want heaven when we die. And so I would say to you this morning, stop trying to save your life. Lose it for Jesus. It's worth it. Make the trade. And you got to preach that back to me as I'm preaching it to you every day. Make the trade. The Lord is speaking that to us. Oh, this morning. Oh, man. But if you will lose your life, oh, if you'll deny, if you'll die, if you'll follow, oh, man. If you will follow, you'll find true life. You'll find true love. You'll find real satisfaction, real meaning. And most of all, you will truly live with the Lord and his blessing. Oh, man, make the trade. What would it profit if someone had everything, but they still lost their soul? I don't mean to pick on celebrities. It's just an easy identification. But there were some celebrities this week having a big wedding in Venice, and there was a big to-do about it, right? Some of those celebrities have what the world says is everything. Some of them may be believers. I don't know. But from the world's perspective, they have it all. But how long do they have it all for? Well, if this whole room is eternity, this is how long they have it all. But listen if you would with me this morning. I think this is a key point. The rich, they have the now. The famous, they have the now. The powerful, the influential, they have the now. But listen to the Lord again. But the meek, the merciful, the poor in spirit, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the persecuted, they have what? They have eternity. They will find their soul. Those aren't my words, by the way. Did everybody catch that? Those are the Beatitudes. Those are the words of Jesus, all right? People have sold their families, their friendships, their integrity, even happiness to have what the world calls success, but it's not worth it. You cannot pay off God. You cannot save your life and keep it too. But you can lose your life and keep it. If you're trying to find yourself, start with following Jesus. And the way I'd word it is this. At the end of following Jesus, at the end of following him, is truly finding your soul. And then Jesus gives one little footnote at the end. Did you catch that? Verse 38, he says, don't be ashamed. He said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Don't be ashamed. Lose your life. All right. Will you be a disciple of the Lord? Will you forsake everything to follow Jesus? Again, I hope I laid it out this morning. I'm just trying to say what the Lord said. It's all or nothing. I'm asking us to stop wasting our lives on the things that don't matter. Find the will of God and do it no matter the cost. Spend your life for Christ. Be spent for the gospel. And then may he say of all of us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. Now look at this next quote. This is really powerful because of who said it. Look at the quote first. What's the quote say? One does not surrender a life in an instant. That which is lifelong can only be surrendered in a what? In a lifetime. You guys, this is not a one-day thing. There is a salvation that's a one-day thing where you're basically releasing yourself to God, and then that moment in time, he changes you. That's a one moment in time thing. But this stuff we're talking about, being a follower of Jesus, it's a lifelong thing. Now, just for a second there, somebody, who said that? His name was Jim Elliot. You guys know Jim Elliot? Jim Elliot, he might have been a little bit older than Mason, maybe not a whole lot more. He went down to a tribe of Indians in South America, to Native Americans, or Native South Americans. And he wanted them to know about Jesus more than anything. Jim Elliot was a writer, and he kept a journal, and he would tell people what he was doing every day. And those people in that South American tribe, they took Jim Elliot's life. Read it again. One does not surrender a life in an instant. That which is lifelong can only be surrendered in a lifetime. Jim Elliot's life was short, but he gave his whole life, everything, to God. And by the way, his family came in after that, and that I think the whole tribe as a whole came to know Jesus because of his testimony. Some of us are still trying to cling to this life, right? We want it both. Jesus says, stop trying to save your life. Very simply today, I would say, let's start that lifetime today, one day at a time, denying, dying, and following Jesus. And I would wrap up this whole thing to say, it's time to be inconvenienced for the Lord. Amen? Let's stand this morning.